Did you know witchcraft is literally invading the church? The devil knows his time is short. He's stopping at nothing to interfere with the gospel. But it's a losing game. Learn why.
Jesus said about Satan, he says that Satan is not only a murderer and has been one from the beginning, but he's a liar. Yeah. And he's the father of all lies. And I didn't necessarily experience a giant infusion of power and significance, things that I was asking for from Satan himself. And I was doing that as a teenager. Within 3 months of that, I tried to kill myself three different times. Twice, tried to commit suicide with pills. That didn't work. And one time, it got so deep and dark going down this route that I actually shot myself in the chest with a .22 rifle.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Today, Jan speaks with a pastor about his life before Christ and how the events in his life brought him to faith in Christ. Billy Crone pastors Sunrise Baptist Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. He's here this hour to tell us his story. Jan and Billy will also discuss how witchcraft has been infiltrating some churches and how that's affecting the ministry of those churches. It's all here on today's program. Let's get started with Jan Markell and her guest, Billy Crone.
And welcome to the program. We look at news, views, truths from a decidedly biblical perspective. And every now and then, I like to feature a true story. Let's just call it a testimony that encourages, because many of you are dealing with loved ones and with circumstances and frankly, may seem even hopeless. May seem hopeless that they're ever going to come to a knowledge of the truth and come to faith. And that's why I want to share a story today, true story, and I have the gentleman in studio with me. And I've had Pastor Billy Crone on air before. I got to know him first through his website and then through his products. And then I had him on air a couple months ago. We actually talked about the rapture for an hour. And you responded wonderfully to some of the products that he carries. Today we're going to talk mainly about his story, but it's actually leading to something that's going on in current events, which I think you will find interesting. I'm going to suggest if there are little children around, some of the subject matter may not be appropriate. So I want to head right into the programming and to Pastor Billy Crone's testimony. Billy Crone, welcome to the studio. Glad you can be here.
Thank you, Jan. It's great to be here.
All the way from Las Vegas. I've seen your testimony and I'm fascinated by it. And you grew up in Kansas. You were an atheist living a pagan life. You were into heavy metal. I think you even told people to sin and you seemed to love evil. And you asked Satan to give you power and make you great. Did he?
Jesus said about Satan, he says that Satan is not only a murderer and has been one from the beginning, but he's a liar. Yeah. And he's the father of all lies. And I didn't necessarily experience a giant infusion of power and significance, things that I was asking for from Satan himself. And I was doing that as a teenager. Within 3 months of that, I tried to kill myself three different times. Twice, tried to commit suicide with pills. That didn't work. And one time, it got so deep and dark going down this route that I actually shot myself in the chest with a .22 rifle, which takes a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I didn't want to die. To be honest with you, I tell people all the time, I was just dying on the inside. I just didn't have any answers. I don't recall people telling me about Jesus. All I had was the influx of people's opinions or what was being taught in secular school or the media. And certainly what wasn't helping was the music I was listening to that glamorizes, you know, Satanism and witchcraft and the occult.
You said God should allow us to see all of this darkness for just 24 hours and we would change. It's a profound statement.
Well, it is because, you know, a lot of people that say, Pastor Billy, like, you know, you grew up completely with an unchurched background and how did you grow so fast and whatever? Well, first of all, that's God, not me, number one. But number two, when I got saved, it literally was, as the scripture says, from darkness to light. And it was very serious for me. And it's just like I started reading the Bible. I figured that's what you're supposed to do as a Christian. I started going to church services. I figured that's what you're supposed to do as a Christian. And I just prayed one time to God 2 weeks after I got saved. And I said, God, I want to know more. Long story short, 8 weeks after I'm saved, I'm in Bible college and then later in seminary. But my point is, I thought that's what every Christian should do. You get rescued from this darkness, which is real, which is demonic. And I've seen apparitions with my own eyes, not making this up. And I'm not trying to glamorize it. This is real.
Yeah.
And it was shocking to me that Christians would not take this more serious. Why isn't every Christian in Bible college? And I had to deal with that.
I don't want to get too far ahead yet, because I still want to go back to when you're kind of leading up to this, because you go to a funeral and you see somebody in a casket.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you ask, what happens when somebody dies?
Yeah.
Was that the first time you thought that?
Well, personally, yes. You know, because back, you know, a teenager, you think you know it all, and you get that disease when you're 17.
Yeah.
Right? Mom and dad are dumb. And I knew about spiritual things, of course, the dark things, because I was already getting indoctrinated in that with the music and people I was hanging around with. But that was the first time that it really came back towards me, when I'm staring at my friend who I should have been there with, and they had an open casket, and I'm staring at his corpse, and I was just flooded with that, oh, no. Okay. No joke. Because before that, I kid you not, Jan, before we were in that funeral, me and another friend were in the car drinking beer, yucking it up. And we walk in and see, and everything radically changed, because I'm staring death square in the face. And it was like, what's going to happen? Not if, but when I die. And that was the first time it really became personal. It's like, wait a sec, there's something more going on here. And you know what? It's not all fun and games. And you better get this right, because the consequences are horrible.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio with me Pastor Billy Crone. He pastors Sunrise Baptist Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. I was drawn to him by the many products, the teachings on eschatology, Bible prophecy, end time related events. You can learn more at getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com, where you can get a copy of his testimony on DVD. And I recommend you get one and duplicate it and hand them out. Okay, you're going to make a change, thankfully. You didn't make a change, you wouldn't be sitting across the table from me here. And I think your brother plays a role, and you started searching for at least a little more balanced places in life, money, relationships, etc. At least it wasn't so dark. But you're still going to head, even though you're kind of making a turnaround, you're going to go deeper into the New Age and the occult?
Yeah, and I needed to reform myself, because basically I just tried to commit suicide three different times. And this is still in Kansas after high school. And my brother, we have family in California. He'd already moved out, my older brother, to California to go to tech school. And so obviously hearing the news of what's going on with his little brother, he comes out, literally pays for it. He frankly rescues me at that point from probably I was going to die and go to hell. He comes out. And so I decide I'm going to follow in his footsteps. I'm going to go to tech school. And, you know, it's the old American dream. Okay, time to get serious about life. I just saw my friend in the casket. He's dead. This is real. And I just tried to kill myself three times. And you better get serious. I cut my hair.
He was not a Christian.
No, he wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't a Christian either at that point. And but I followed the other false dangling carrot, and certainly wasn't working with Satan and drugs and the all that other stuff going on. And so I call it the American dream. You know, I better clean up my act and get a good job and, you know, get a good education and try a good relationship. And maybe that's going to fill the hole in my heart. Well, that wasn't working. But that's the route that I went down. And I began to, even though going to tech school and completing that and all that stuff, there was a period of time where I was making really good money. I had more money than I knew what to do with. And that didn't help once I hit rock bottom again. The emptiness of that. I'm not against education. I'm not against great relationships. God's way. I'm not against that. And God will bless those things. But if you're looking for something to fill that hole in your heart, those things don't cut it. You could cram as much money as you want and as much pleasure as you want. You're still going to wake up empty. Only it's a God-shaped void that only God can fill.
All right. But you're going to drift into Eastern mysticism. Again, you're heading back into the cult, cult-related activities, even demonic apparitions, LSD, altered states of consciousness, psychotropic drugs, meditation, channeling. I can go on and on. You really weren't rescued. You went deeper. You went deeper into the darkness.
Yeah, I was rescued from physical death, but I was not rescued from the spiritual darkness. Because what happened is I fell even harder, if you will, after I went down the dangling carrot. Because I'm like, okay, well, this is it. This is where I'm going to be happy and fulfilled. Follow the American dream, right? Money, education, relationship, all the things they say, here's what equates to a happy life. Well, that didn't happen after a while as I tried that. So I hit rock bottom again. I was, oh, you got to be kidding me. There's got to be more to life than this. And so about that time, talk about a setup. One of the guys I was rooming with at the time, he turned me on to the Satanic Bible from Anton LaVey and with the rituals involved in that. And so that didn't help anything. But then I had another guy, and I had a dose of that prior, you know, when I tried to kill myself. But I had another guy that I worked with, and he turned me on to the New Age religion and specifically told me where to go to these New Age books bookstores. And that's one of the lies of New Age, is it's like, okay, this isn't dark like Satanism. And this is basically, you get to have the power to determine what's right and wrong, which is the lie of Genesis chapter 3, right? Don't listen to God. You can be your own God, and you could decide between what's good and evil. But New Age, if people aren't familiar with it, it's basically, picture a cafeteria. And you basically, I'll take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I'll throw that on my plate too. And okay, I'll try a little bit of that. And that's really what New Age is. You get to decide what makes up spiritual truth, how to define that. Take a little bit of Buddhism, take a little bit of Hinduism, maybe even sprinkle in just a hair of Christianity, but only that stuff that everybody likes, like the golden rule, do unto others as you have them do unto you, etc. And just self-help, secular psychology, the whole nine, or just sprinkle all in. You get to be God. You get to define what equates with spiritual truth. Now, that's a lie, because there's only one truth, and that's Jesus Christ. In fact, he is, John 14:6, the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. So all this is just another demonic lie. And it began to manifest itself, because their source of truth, of course, obviously in New Age, is not the Bible. And it's all these different religions. But also, they say what you also need to do on top of that to get in touch with this higher truth that's supposed to be better than the Bible and Christianity is you need to get into an altered state of consciousness. And you need to contact that spirit guide, or that's the space brothers supposedly orbiting the planet Earth, or somebody, angel from another dimension. Well, I'm not doubting that sometimes you might make contact with an angel, but it's not an angel from God. It's a demon. It's all demonic practices.
You say, I'm quoting you here, there are no words for the terror of demonic control.
Yeah.
So you were under demonic control a lot.
Oh, yeah. Because part of it, not only the stuff that I was involved in, I'm involved with demonic teachings. I'm listening to demonic music. I'm taking demonic drugs. Well, what stir all that together. What do you expect to get? But in New Age, again, with these practices, of course, they would never say, learn to become a medium, which God forbids, Deuteronomy 18. You know, they always change the terminology to make it sound good. It's not a demon. It's a spirit guide. It's not getting to an altered state of consciousness, a medium channeling a demon. It's channeling. It's open to become a star seed of light and to disseminate the planet. All it is it's demonic. Part of that practice is it's not just opening yourself up to that. It's inviting these things to not just speak through you, but also to inhabit you. Now, that's full-blown demonic possession, right? But they don't call it that. Of course, people would freak out. So the word that they used back in my time was a walk-in. That don't you want to allow these spirit guides to walk in you, to inhabit you and speak through you, and then you could become a star child, a disseminator of the light that will help heal humanity. And it all sounds so good, but it's all a demonic lie.
Are you having any real spiritual thoughts at all? I mean, I know in 1993 something happens, but while you're in the midst of this mess and you're under such demonic control, do you sense God trying to speak to you at all?
Well, I can look back and there was two people who dared, and I say that phrase, dared to witness to me, because I considered it a joy to chew up and spit out Christians that I would run across. To me, it was very easy to do because, unfortunately, they were ill-equipped. And they couldn't even answer questions that frankly are still to this day very great questions. How do you know God exists? What makes the Bible so unique? How do you know that came from God? Why isn't it like just any other religious book on the planet? If God's so wonderful and loving, tell me about evil and suffering. Where did that come from? And they would, and I used to love to chew them up and spit them out. I literally had, I'm not kidding, Jen, not just a dislike or a disdain. I had a hatred for Christians. Okay. But I think part of that was the demonic entities inside of me. In the midst of that, and I just love to just really tear into them, I had my older sister, Terry, who was the only Christian at that time, who would witness to me. And for a very brief time, God set up a divine appointment with a Christian who I worked with. And neither one of them could really necessarily answer my questions that I wanted an answer for that I just mentioned. But all they would do is just simply go back, you know what? I may not have the answer to that, but I'm telling you, it's Jesus. You need to turn to Jesus. They just kept planting that seed that it's Jesus. You need him, specifically him, and call upon his name.
In 1993... something really significant happens. Talk to us a little bit about it. We may have to pick it up in the next segment, but this is an incredible scene as I'm hearing you give your testimony actually online, because you fall to your knees and you say, God, if you're real and you want my life, you can have it. Well, wow, quite a contrast from channeling meditation, demonic control, psychotropic drugs, bang, all of a sudden, God, if you're real.
Well, and again, I tell people, and this is the message of hope, I tell people, don't ever give up on your loved one, your coworker, your neighbor, whoever. I don't care how adamant they are. I don't care how much they voice against what you're trying to share. It's all veneer. They could be 5 seconds away from getting saved, because that's what happened to me. There was no warming up to Christianity for me. The seeds were planted, but as far as where was my mindset, was I thinking about God? No, not at all. I didn't realize how close I was to getting saved. But basically, the night before, I'm doing what I normally do. It's Saturday night, you know, and I'm out partying and stuff. Long story short, I wake up the next day, I blacked out, I was at a restaurant, and next thing you know, I hear this knock on the door, and the guy I was partying with, his name is Mark, and his Christian parents, who had no idea that he was doing what he was doing with me, and they said, "Hey, Mark, it's Easter. You going to go to church services? It's Easter. You got to at least go to church service." He goes, "Oh, no, because we were hungover, obviously." And then, so they kept knocking. He says, "No, I'm not going to go." So they left. So I got up, and it's Sunday right now. You know, I got to get to work Monday. So I had a headache. It didn't usually get him that bad. So I thought, you know, I got to get rid of this headache to get some rest. So I start drinking some coffee at Mark's house. Well, that didn't get rid of it. So I hopped in my car, went across town where I was rooming with my brother, who was out of town at the time, and basically get home. I still have the headache. So I do what, you know, society laughs and yucks up. I go to the cupboard. I start slamming some vodka to got to get rid of this headache. And bang, that's when it happened again. Wasn't the first time, but the second time it happened to this degree, it was full-blown demonic activity. I was, Jen, in a nutshell, I wasn't warmed up to Christ, but I tell you what, I was so stubborn, so arrogant, so rebellious that it literally took me being scared from demonic, if I could say the word, hellish nightmare scenario fear that drove me to Christ. It was out of fear. I had gone so far that it was the fear of literally going insane. And in fact, when that was happening, I literally had described it. It's like walking a razor's edge. And I felt, even as a non-Christian, I felt that if I don't fight this, if I give into this, this went through my head as a non-Christian, I will know what it will be like to go insane and never come back. And it was that sensation that this was the second time it happened. And each time it grew in intensity. This time, all of a sudden, here's the knee-jerk response. Praise God. I was 25. I ran to my bedroom. I'm all alone. I dropped on my knees and I said, "God," and I had my hands up in the air. And I said, "God, if you're real and you really want this life, you can have it." But I knew not to stop there. I knew specifically back to my sister and the one guy that witnessed, there's something about the name of Jesus Christ. I got to call on his name. So I did. And I said, "Jesus Christ, would you please forgive me? And would you please come into this life?" And bang, instantly, everything changed. Instantly delivered. Instantly.
There's no withdrawal. There's no nothing. You're just a new man.
Honestly, it seemed like for the first couple of days, it seemed like the sky was bluer, the grass was greener. It was so brand spanking new. It was awesome.
Folks, the lesson here is don't ever give up on a loved one. We've got more to talk about. I'm going to do that in my next segment, talking to Pastor Billy Crone, pastor of Sunrise Baptist Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can learn a lot more at getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com. And Pastor Crone says, as soon as he became a believer, he actually knew almost right away that, hey, we're in the last days. I know people who have been Christians 50 years and haven't figured that out. We'll get into that in just a minute or two. Don't go away. Don't touch your dial.
Do you know someone who might need encouragement? Someone who may feel they're beyond hope of ever coming to know Jesus as their Savior? We suggest you consider giving a CD recording of today's discussion to that friend or loved one. Pastor Crone's testimony is a powerful reminder of how God works in the lives of people who hate God and His church. To order your copy of Understanding the Times, phone 763-559-4444. As Jan continues her conversation with Billy Crone, coming up, they'll be discussing how the occult is infiltrating the church. You don't want to miss it. Here's something else you don't want to miss. October 7. Save the date for our next Understanding the Times conference. Coming up shortly, more details on our fall event, or for more conference info, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. You can help us to continue coming your way every week. Consider sending a tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311.
Well, I love coming to the Jan Markell Conference because I hear things here that I don't hear in other places. I really appreciate the perspective about what's going on in the current events today. We can all see it happening. And just the encouragement that we receive here, that Jesus is coming soon. It's just such an encouragement to me, and that's why I come.
It's not too early to make plans to attend Understanding the Times 2017, Saturday, October 7, just outside of Minneapolis. Join us at Grace Church in Eden Prairie from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. There's no cost or registration needed. You can spend the day with like-minded believers who don't think it's strange that you want to understand the times and also discern the times of Bible prophecy. Speakers include Amir Sarfati.
Our book, the Bible, contains 29% future events. 29% of this book is Bible prophecy. God wants us to know even the future.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
So I don't believe in we should scoff at signs. I don't believe we should be reckless speculators, but I do believe that signs of the times are important and that we live in a time today when the stage is being set.
Pastor J.D. Farag from Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii.
Jerusalem, as Joel Rosenberg calls it, is the epicenter. It is the second hand on God's prophetic clock. You want to know what time it is in terms of Bible prophecy? Look at Jerusalem.
Michelle Bachman.
Jesus Christ is coming back. We, in our lifetimes, potentially could see Jesus Christ returning to earth, the rapture of the church. This is one of the most exciting times in history. We need to be exactly watching the tenor of the times, be observing, and look up our redemption draweth nigh.
Hotel information is posted at our website, olivetreeviews.org, or call us for complete details at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We have promised that we'll keep talking about today, but always with an eye on tomorrow and the hope of His return.
Many times I've said from the pulpit, I wish that sometimes God would give the church the ability to see the spiritual realm for 24 hours.
Yes.
Evil is real. Demons are real. The occult is real. And they're really out there. They're really deceiving people. I've come across two stats. 47, as low as 47, which is still high, as high as 65% of the American church does not believe in a literal devil. He says, we now know of a large number of churches that have been successfully infiltrated by witches. In fact, one town, witches boast that they have infiltrated every church in the town. Mm-hmm. Their plan is meeting with amazing success.
We know you're enjoying today's guest on Understanding the Times Radio. As Jan mentioned, Billy Crone has a website, getalifemedia.com. There you can order teaching products produced by Pastor Crone. Again, the web address, getalifemedia.com. Once again, Jan Markell.
And welcome back. And I'm spending the entire hour with Pastor Billy Crone. Many of you know him through his productions, through his DVDs, through his internet outreach ministry, his books. And then I featured him a couple of months ago for the hour. We talked about the rapture, and I cannot recommend highly enough his products on the rapture book, DVDs, and more. But you have to go to his website and see all the topics. It's truly incredible. Getalifemedia.com. Billy, you are instantly delivered again. There are some people who go through weeks of trying to get delivered from the life you had and that you led, and you're instantly delivered. You're delivered from drugs, alcohol, the weight of sin, instantly delivered, which that can happen to everybody. But the other things, a little bit more miraculous, I think. You didn't go through the hell.
Yeah. Again, when I first got saved, I don't have any church background, if you will, experience. Mm. I could hardly even tell you the Jonah and the whale story. I mean, I just zero. Basic knowledge. And all I knew what I was experiencing is, man, I tried basically through New Age, basically every religion under the sun, throwing some self-help, secular psychology. Nothing was working, but all I knew was I called upon specifically the name of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And man, everything has radically changed from the inside and out. And again, I started going to church services and reading the Bible. I figured that's what we're supposed to do because I'm all alone. But I thought that this was the experience of every Christian, right? And because that's what happened to me. You're in darkness and then you call upon the name of Jesus. It's light, and at the same time, you take him very seriously. And again, I've made this statement before that many times I've said from the pulpit, I wish that sometimes God would give the church the ability to see the spiritual realm for 24 hours.
Yes.
And the reason why I say that is because I lived that life. Evil is real. Demons are real. The occult is real. You could laugh at it. You could scoff at it. You could put the devil in a red suit with a pitchfork. You could put witches. Oh, that's just like, you know, the Wizard of Oz with the green face and the big giant nose and stuff and the black hat. This is real. And they're really out there. They're really deceiving people. I've come across two stats. 47, as low as 47, which is still high, as high as 65% of the American church does not believe in a literal devil.
I know. I heard you say that. And I also heard you say, and this should be encouraging to you people, he said, as long as someone is still breathing, there is hope. If you're trying to reach a loved one, a co-worker, a neighbor, a relative, a friend, Billy Crone says, as long as someone is breathing, there is hope. Don't be discouraged, even if you don't see any hope. You're going to go to Bible school, which your story is hilarious because you don't know the Bible any more than any more than I know a mechanic's book on how to fix a car. You don't know the Bible. And you're sitting in Bible school and they're telling you to find certain things in the Bible. You don't know up from down. I mean, it's a wonderful story because you come out obviously knowing the Bible. You're a wonderful Bible teacher. What are you thinking about as you're sitting in Bible school?
Well, I was excited, to be honest with you. I really think that the Bible College at that time, they had no idea how brand spanking new of a Christian I was. I don't think it necessarily turned me down because you got to start somewhere. I knew zero. You're probably ahead of me because you had more exposure. But the point is, get in there, get started, read the Bible, but just don't quit. Consistency is the key. But I'm in there. I don't know anything. But I'm excited because I'm going like, okay, because when I got saved, Jim, in the New Age, it's like you try this. No, that's not working. Try this. No, that's not working. Try that. It was a frustrating experience. Mm-hmm. I'd even gone, you know, again, down the occult route. Well, that ain't working either. So I tried the American Dream. That's not working. Well, when I got saved and the radical difference that was bang, instantly with Jesus, woo, I knew this was the truth. It was also not only a great relief sensation of being forgiven of my sin and becoming a new creature in Christ and all things literally became new, but it was also the sensation with, whew, finally, I don't have to wonder what's going to happen when I die. I don't have to wonder, where do I go to learn more about spiritual things and not be steered in a false direction again? That was a frustrating existence. So when I'm in Bible college, I may not have known much, and I didn't, but I was excited. At least I know I'm in the right place. At least I know every ounce of every second of every minute that I invest in this, this is the place to be.
As a new believer, as I teased a few minutes ago, as a new believer, you are aware that we were in the last days. Now, I know some of this goes back to your New Age experience, but explain to the listeners why, as a new believer and just barely understanding the concepts of the Bible, you perceive we're in the last days.
Well, I think there's a general awareness that the church is missing. Even the general public, typically, they may not talk about it at the water cooler or whatever, but the general public is aware that, you know what, something's different now. Something's wrong. It just keeps getting worse, mm-hmm. and it's not getting better. All the panaceas that our society's throwing at it, it's just not working. Something's wrong with the planet. And they even start using words like last days. But even more so, when I was involved in the occult and New Age, believe it or not, the New Age and the occult also believe very heavily and teach and promote that we're in the last days. Now, they won't necessarily call it the last days in the context that we are because it's all twisted, which is what Satan does. He takes God's truth, he twists it, contorts it, and perverts it, and turns it into something false. And so they believe we're in the last days, but they think it's a good thing, not a bad thing. They actually promote that what we need right now, believe it or not, and I was indoctrinating this stuff, and a promoter of it before I got saved, obviously, and that we all need to submit to a one world religion, a one world economy. In fact, we also need to develop this ability to all submit to a one world leader who can usher us out of this mess that we're in. And well, what's that? Well, I remember when I'm in Bible college, still not knowing much, but all of a sudden I start to hear this verbiage about a rapture event, and then I start hearing about this, wait a second, the 7-year tribulation is going to involve a one world government. I'm going, and all of a sudden light bulbs go over my head. I'm going, whoa, that's what the occult believes, except they think it's a good thing that you need to be a part of, not to be separated from. In fact, they even go to step two. They also preach and teach that there's going to be a disappearance of people, but it's not the rapture of the church as we know it. They have their explanation for it, false explanation, but they also say that those who are left behind in the 7-year tribulation, which they don't call, they say, you're a chosen one. This is a great thing. The Bible says, are you kidding me? This is mankind's darkest hour. What did Jesus say? This is the worst time in the history of mankind. So bad that unless God shortened the time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. Well, they say, no, this is great. This is the age of utopia. Now, granted, we're going to go through some earth changes, but it's Mother Earth cleansing herself. And if you can just hang on and be that ultimate survivor, then you're going to come out on the back end, the age of utopia, the age of Aquarius. It's all coming. Just hang on.
But how convenient, though, that when we disappear from the rapture, these folks are going to have an answer. It won't be the truth, but who knows? Aliens took us. The New Age and the occult will explain it away. Now, I don't know how many people are going to buy into that. I suspect a lot.
Yeah. Well, you certainly look at what's being taught in the secular school, certainly with the help and aid of Hollywood.
Yes.
And Hollywood's even producing movies to explain away specifically. It's a false scenario, whether it be aliens or some spiritual event that they just cannot achieve the same spiritual vibrations as the rest of us chosen ones. They make it a good thing instead of a bad thing.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio Pastor Billy Crone, all the way from Las Vegas. And he is pastor of Sunrise Baptist Church in Las Vegas. We've talked to him before on air because his passion would be, you might have picked that up, end time activity. I'm going to talk to him a little bit more about that, assuming time is going to permit. But Pastor Billy Crone, and you and I were talking, and we both agree that, and you're going to tap into particularly electronics, the internet, to get the gospel out because that's your passion. And you feel we're going to lose the internet eventually, because we're going to be tagged as we already have been, right-wing extremists. We engage in hate crimes. We believe there's only one way, which today is bigoted. And eventually we might lose these wonderful tools that we have to tap into.
Yeah, well, the groundwork's already laid for that.
Yeah,
it's called
it is.
What's considered a hate crime in society. If you disagree morally on moral issues, like certainly homosexuality, that's a hate crime. If you disagree that all paths lead to heaven, the ecumenical movement, right, one world religion, then that's a hate crime. And that's all being laid right before us. And many times I have people say, well, man, what drives you, man? Where do you get all your energy? And I says, well, frankly, there's number one, that's God, obviously. He gets the glory. Number two, it's what drives me is three things that go through my head on a regular basis. Number one, I could die today. Because it's going to happen. You know, the Bible says that we're going to die once. And Job 14 says that God has determined the length of our lives and we're not given a minute longer. So we're going to die on time. But it could be today. I don't know. God knows. Well, praise God. Now through Jesus Christ, I'm going to heaven, absent from the bodies to be with Jesus. So I could die today, go to heaven. But here's the point. Well, wait a second. You don't witness in heaven. You don't store up treasure in heaven when you're in heaven. You know, this is the only time that you get to say, thank you, Jesus, mm-hmm. for all that you've done for me. This is it. It's this life right now. And so when you die, it's over. So you're not coming back. So praise God, I'm in heaven. But here's my point. What are you doing for Jesus? Number two, I could still be alive, but the rapture could happen. It's imminent. It could happen while we're doing this broadcast. And so, and again, praise God, we're going to heaven. That's great. But again, what was I doing for Jesus? The third thing that drives me is, okay, if I'm still alive, but if the Lord should tarry, I am under no illusion that we're always going to have this freedom, even here in America, to be able to share the gospel with such great ease. And that's what drives me, because you know what? If I'm going to have, as a Christian, as a pastor, if this is part of the scenario that's going to come, only God knows, but if I'm going to have myself hauled away by the, quote, authorities, and if my head's going to be on a concrete floor, I'd rather have this thought going through my head. You know what? I know it wasn't perfect. I know it didn't do everything that it could have, but you know what? We gave it a good shot. Man, we tried our best. We tried to take advantage of the opportunity that God's given us, rather than, you know what? Wow. Whew. I could have, should have, would have. Why didn't we? I wasted so much time, you know. And that's a viable reality that I don't think the church realizes. Persecution is coming, even here in America, and we better take advantage of this opportunity.
And going back to tapping into the internets and all things electronic, I mean, so many of these outfits are hostile to Christianity. Facebook, Google, lots of them. And I think our days may be numbered, too, before they start clamping down, putting on speech regulations, etc., some of this internet activity that you and I tap into. I want to move into a little bit into a story that made headlines, still making headlines as I speak. And you have a background to help people understand this a little bit. And you just said minutes ago, and we were talking heavily about occult-related things, and you said, hey, this is real. Don't mess with this. Don't make a joke out of this. This stuff is real. And recently, a top story on Drudge, Fox News, all over the place, revealed that the world of the occult is uniting to pray for the demise of President Donald Trump. And I'm going to do some further programming down the road a little bit on it, but I want to tap into your expertise. Apparently, witches are going to be meeting once a month, at least for the next many, many months, when the moon is at a certain position. And they're going to be praying. They're going to be cursing Donald Trump. They're going to be trying to pray for get rid of him one way or another. Give me your take on this.
Well, again, I applaud you for dealing with this because I lived this.
Yeah.
And this is real. This is not a game. I tell people that. So this is not a game. And again, back to, I wish that the church could for 24 hours see the spiritual realm, because if you did, I think you would wake up, you'd get more serious about sharing the gospel, your life would clean up, and you know, wouldn't be making all kinds of excuses as to why you can't serve God or draw closer to him or get the gospel out. But this is real stuff. And people don't realize that, believe it or not, you know, churches have church meetings, witches have witch meetings. Mm-hmm. They don't call them churches, they're covens, right? And Satan is the same thing. These people people have, quote, board meetings just like we do. They're with the witches. It's run by the high priestess. And also, when in part of their meetings, they discuss, okay, who's going to go out and do what? And we're talking infiltrate, you know, whether it could be a group effort like we saw against President Trump, or, and this is what people need to realize, or, and I've experienced this firsthand as a pastor, they go into churches to take down churches. And I've got actual testimonies. I'll just share a couple real quick. This is how bad it is in the American church today. One particular church where I was serving at the time, and I didn't find this out until the very end of the tenure there, but one board member on the church actually made this statement there at the very end at a board meeting. And they said, you know what? You know, my family is from a several generation line of witches. And to be honest with you, I'm still kind of upset over what the Christians did to my family and persecuting them. And I'm going, what? Now, this isn't Joe Schmo down the street. This isn't the person you meet in the barbershop, right? You didn't run into him in Walmart. This is the person making decisions for the church on the church board.
Wow.
That's one example. Another example, I was pastoring another place, and this young girl had just gotten saved and on fire for Jesus. And all of a sudden, here comes this guy chumming up to her. And he's saying all the right stuff and all the right words. And something's like, man, something ain't right here. And lo and behold, sure enough, he's trying to draw her away. And then basically, praise God, God allowed her to see what was going on. And she caught him one time at his house. And he's got an altar there burning with candles and stuff. And he ain't no Christian. And he certainly isn't praying to God. But these people worm their way into churches to specifically take down the church and control the church.
Well, and Satan knows his time is short. He knows he's got a rather ignominious end awaiting him. He'd love to throw this end time plan of God off.
Yeah, exactly. And again, these people are very adamant about it. I would read to you an actual pastor's report that I had come across, and this guy is warning other pastors of what is really going on. And he says this: several high profile pastors urged me to put into a print what we now know in order to alert the church to the dangers we are now facing. Again, this isn't just against President Trump. It's against the church, and it's been going on for quite some time. He says, we now know of a large number of churches that have been successfully infiltrated by witches. In fact, one town, witches boast that they have infiltrated every church in the town, and judging by the devastation caused in some of the churches in this town, the claim is probably correct. Their plan is meeting with amazing success. One church that we have been told of originally had a membership of well over 100. The membership is now down to 30. The rest of the members are demoralized. He said, this is now happening on an increasing number of churches, and many promising young pastors are now leaving the ministry because of it. The witches are working to a carefully laid out plan, which has been operating for many years right under our noses, even without our suspecting it. Now stop right there. That agrees with the statistic. 47 to as high as 65% of the American church no longer believes in a literal Satan. Well, you look at it from a warfare point of view, it's called the sneak attack. What better way to take over your enemy than produce a sneak attack? And so he's got the church thinking he doesn't even exist, and yet he's right there in the midst. And that's what these witches, they refuse to deal with this topic. They won't touch it. They don't believe in it. They mock at it. They laugh at it. They scoff at it. And yet they're right there in the congregation. But he goes on and he says, they dress well. They speak well. Some profess to be fine Christians, and they're knowledgeable of spiritual matters. Listen to this. Some witches appear to be content just to sit in congregations and mumble their incantations while they work their way to gain acceptance into the church and into positions of influence, just like I mentioned that one person on the church board. They says they become members, they take an active part, singing in the choir, joining leadership, and they also work at destroying the pastor's reputation, seducing him, spreading rumors about him and other members of the leadership. They cause divisions, factions within the church. They may lay charges against the pastors or the leadership, and all it is to divide the members. And he says this, the results stemming from these methods are obvious and manifold: suspicion, loss of confidence in the leadership, emotional problems, tension, disunity. The list is almost endless. He said, but that's still only the tip of the iceberg. He said, unfortunately, the church in these last days has become so worldly and materialistic that it is no longer any real threat to its enemies. And I constantly hear Christians talk about spiritual warfare and putting on the armor of God, but it would appear that with most, their knowledge of these things is theoretical rather than experimental.
Listeners right now are probably wondering, what on earth, how can I counter some of this? It seems like it's so overwhelming. We need to talk about that, and we can do that in our closing segment. But it's fascinating insights you have. Talking to Pastor Billy Crone, Sunrise Baptist Church, Las Vegas. Learn more at getalifemedia.com. Check out the incredible products there, including a DVD of his testimony, Get a Life Through Jesus Christ, the personal testimony of Pastor Billy Crone. And you can actually duplicate those and hand them out by the dozen. If in fact you can go out and witness on the streets and hand them out. Incredible story. I'm coming back in just a minute or two. We're going to wrap this up. Don't go away. Don't touch your dial.
We'll return to Jan Markell and her special guest in just a moment. First, a couple of reminders. Our website is full of resources that you need to keep you and your family aware of the times in which we live. Please visit us at olivetreeviews.org. Olivetreeviews.org is one of the ways we keep in touch with you beyond the weekly radio program. You can get in touch with us at 763-559-4444 or by writing to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Olive Tree Ministries' mission is to keep you informed and aware of how to navigate our times and prepare for the return of Jesus Christ. For the most informed commentators in America today, join us every week. We'll be right back right after this.
This program has tried to provide a voice for the remnant believers for almost 16 years. We began on one station in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, but quickly expanded as those who wanted the truth of our times were across the country. We can't thank you enough for being a part of our team with your giving and your prayer support. The Olive Tree family has grown beyond all our expectations. To keep this message alive in your neighborhood, would you consider a tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries in 2017? Just write Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, or find our donate page online at olivetreeviews.org. You can always call us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. Remember, we keep an eye on today's headlines, but we also look at what the Bible says about tomorrow and the hope of His return.
This is Understanding the Times Radio, the fusion of current events and biblical insights. Every week we bring you the best voices who discern our times according to the Bible. Join us every weekend on this station for an experience with truth that will enlighten your day. Understanding the times in which we live keeps us prepared for the changes coming to our world. The Bible is clear that the last days will be full of deception, delusion, and corruption like the world has never known. Every week we deliver to you insights that discern our days and bring you hope. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell.
There are Satanists and witches that's their stated goal, is to take the church down, weaken the church, weaken the leadership, turn it into fun and games, or just flat out destroy it. In fact, they even admit that they are specifically sent into churches, specifically churches too, by the way, that do preach the Word of God. These are former Satanists and also those involved in witchcraft. And listen to what they say. This is their testimony. She said, "Are the Satanists, they are out to torment you. They are out to blackmail you. They will even kill you. They tried to kill me," she said, "when I came out of black witchcraft." Another guy named Bill, he said, "If you're in a church where the Spirit of God is really moving and the Word of God is really being preached, and where prayer is really going up to heaven for the salvation of souls, they are going to regard you as their mortal enemies."
Next on Understanding the Times, the conclusion of today's conversation with Jan Markell and Pastor Billy Crone.
Bubble, bubble, I smell trouble. Witches across the country were gathering at the stroke of midnight to put a hex on President Trump. Did you see this?
That's right, Pim.
Find Donald J. Trump.
Find their wickedness.
Find their wickedness.
This is real. Scenes like this playing out as a collective spell was cast under the crescent moon. The witches plan to do the same for each upcoming crescent moon until President Trump is out of office.
And welcome back. Remember, if you write to us, and particularly if you send a gift, always tell us what station you're listening to. And you can get a CD of any program, including this program. You might want to get several. Become a CD subscriber, $15 a month. You have to call us on that because we must use a credit card just for CD subscription. And follow us on Facebook, Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries, on Twitter at Olive Tree Men. Check out my print and e-newsletter where we keep you up to date on the issues we're talking about this particular hour, talking with Pastor Billy Crone. And Pastor Crone, and I think my producer, Larry Kutzler, would like to, and he's a former pastor, and I'd like him to weigh in.
Well, Pastor, one of my biggest contention with most Christian leadership today is they do not prepare their congregations for the things that you're talking about today, or end times in general. I mean, there are many of them, not all of them, but many of them are derelict in this area. So when these witches and warlocks or whatever come into a congregation, do they help to divert the pastor away from truth, get that pulpit to be weak and silent on issues that really need to be spoken about?
Yeah, and exactly. That's their plan. That's their stated goal. Is that anything they could do to disrupt the church, take the church down? And certainly when a church refuses to teach all of God's word, it's going to become weak, and certainly also with prayer and etc. Also, what's going on is you don't even need, unfortunately, I still think it's a demonic lie, but you don't need witches and Satanists to convince a pastor not to preach the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. That's another issue called the rise of apostasy in the church, where there's a lie going through the church the last 20 years or so called the church growth movement, where it's not about preaching and spiritual equipping the church, preaching God's truth. It's about numerical growth at all costs.
Right.
And so they gut the truth. So this is coming from top down and being thrust upon pastors and the younger generation below me up. This is all they've ever known is church growth movement style, which actually, believe it or not, encourages pastors, don't preach all the Bible, only the good stuff. And frankly, half the time it's not even that. It's pop psychology, feel good stuff anyway. But there are Satanists and witches that's their stated goal, is to take the church down, weaken the church, weaken the leadership, turn it into fun and games, or just flat out destroy it. In fact, they even admit that they are specifically sent into churches, specifically churches too, by the way, that do preach the word of God. They consider us Christians their mortal enemy. And let me just share, I got one more testimony
yes,
here.
Yes, please.
Of these people stating this is what they plan on doing when they go into a church service. Now, these are former Satanists and also those involved in witchcraft. And listen to what they say. This is their testimony. One lady is named Doreen, and she said, Christians are the Satanists, and she was also a black witch. She said, are the Satanists' worst enemy. Christians are. They look at us as their worst enemy. They are out to torment you. They are out to blackmail you. They will even kill you. They tried to kill me, she said, when I came out of black witchcraft. Another guy named Bill, he said, if you're in a church where the Spirit of God is really moving and the Word of God is really being preached, and where prayer is really going up to heaven for the salvation of souls, they are going to regard you as their mortal enemies, and they are going to be out there trying to do everything they can to destroy and kill and maim, because that is, of course, the nature of Satan, and so it's the nature of his followers. They'll try to infiltrate your church. They will try and set up whispering campaigns against the pastor and the elders. They may even again seduce the pastor. And listen to this. This is Glenn. Glenn was a former Satanist, generational family issue. He came out, got saved. Listen to this line. For 2 years, I was involved in the Baptist church. Mm. Not 2 hours in one service and then ran. Not 2 weeks, 2 years, this former Satanist was involved in a Baptist church. He said, and what was he doing? Listen to this. I was constantly complaining about the pastor's sermons being too long, being too dry, sowing discord among the people, gossiping about others. He just basically there to stir up trouble. And other ones, they say, as a member, and when they're initiated into the coven, they're commissioned to do a job. And sometimes it's to desecrate the church property just to strike fear. But she says this, some who were handpicked, the most powerful ones, were sent into churches to disrupt the meeting, and we stop people from going forward when they ask people to go forward to accept Christ as their Savior. And oftentimes, they're even encouraged to learn Christian lingo to get people to think that they're Christians. And one guy said this, he said, I was in fact trained to learn all the Christian jargon, you know, to say hallelujah and praise the Lord, do all the right things, and I had no more idea of Jesus being my Savior than a man on the moon. Mm-hmm. And one more, back to Glenn, he says this, why are they here? What are they doing this for, right? He said, if you can tear down the prayer foundation of a church, then you've destroyed that church. And that's what every witch and every Satanist plans to do when they go into a church service. It's to tear down that prayer foundation, and the rest of the church goes down quickly after that.
We have listeners at home thinking, well, first of all, some are fearful right now. which we don't have to be. I mean, we don't need to fear but we need to not be ignorant of the wiles of the devil. Some are feeling hopeless because it sounds too overwhelming. What do you say to them?
Well, here's the good news, and I know this, and I'll explain it as soon as I say it. It might sound kind of cheesy, but have a tight walk with Jesus Christ and have a great day. Because actually, witches, there are typically certain people that they avoid, especially if they're in trying to infiltrate. And that's the born-again Christian who's really living for Jesus Christ. In fact, the witches, what they testify, they know who those Christians are, because to the witches, they actually have to shield their eyes, and there's a light emanating from them. They know who the real godly Christians are. Okay. And it's the witches and Satanists who are actually afraid of them. So you're right, Jan. The scripture is very clear. Greater is he that is in us than he is in this world. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And we don't have to walk around being afraid of these guys, because Satan is the loser, not us. Not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And frankly, we need to get to the point where our walk with Jesus is frankly so tight, and we are working as Christians, keeping our church fellowship so tight, that we become a threat. And that when they come in our midst, we are all so shining with the light of Jesus Christ that we infiltrate them, i.e. we share the gospel with them. They need to be saved just like anybody else. Flip it around.
I'm concerned about the safety. I'm going back a little few minutes here. I'm concerned about the safety of President Trump. And granted, God is so much greater than what these screwballs are trying to do, who are trying to cause harm to anybody, President Trump or churches. Then do you feel Christians praying for our president will protect him?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, God obviously cares about us. He encourages us as Christians that we don't have to worry. We don't have to be anxious about anything. What do? We just pray. God asks us to pray because the scripture says he cares about us. He loves us. And through Jesus Christ, the scripture says we actually have the privilege as a Christian to approach the throne of grace with confidence. And so, and God hears our prayers. He answers all of our prayers. It's just yes, no, or not now. It's the no's and the not now's. So we think that maybe he didn't answer. No, he answers all our prayers. And so certainly we are, and he encourages us and tells us we are to pray for our leaders.
Yes,
and you don't
absolutely
think that God's not going to step in and intervene? Of course he will. Yeah.
There are some listening today who identified with your testimony. They are saying to themselves, you know, I'm going down that pathway right now. Drugs, alcohol, whatever. You name so many things that a few can identify with. And they'd like to get out. And they'd like to have the same kind of freedom you now have. Tell them how.
Well, it's simply calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. And again, you're listening to somebody, I've tried everything, frankly, under the sun. Different religion, self-help, man's wisdom, all this stuff that society says, and it doesn't work. And if you're at that point, then I think you could agree it certainly doesn't work. It's calling upon the name of Jesus Christ, asking him to forgive you of your sins. The Bible says that God is holy and that we are not. And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. We deserve to die, to go to hell, to be separated from God for eternity. But God loves us. He knew that there was no way, you can't earn your way to heaven because we're all disqualified, myself included. So he did what only he could do. He sent his own son to take our punishment on our behalf, and he lived the perfect life in our place. And the Bible says that if you would call upon the name of Jesus and entrust your eternal destiny to his work on the cross, not your own work, that God will completely, 100% forgive you. And again, this is what I experienced. And not just forgive you, but before you get to heaven, he uses words like this. He makes you into a new creature, new creation. He gives you a brand new life. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. It's a great life. It's awesome. And we haven't even got to heaven yet. But it starts by specifically calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. And truly from your heart, believing that it's his work on the cross that you achieve forgiveness in heaven and begin that daily walk with him. I say this all the time to people, Jan. I say, listen, I hope it's never gotten old what happened to you at salvation, that God has left for us a source of truth called the Bible, right? Think of it, and we don't have to question or wonder. Get into that book. Number two, that you have every day when you get up out of bed through Jesus Christ, a personal, loving, intimate, beautiful, bride-like relationship with the creator of the universe. It's real. That's why you have a hole in your heart. If you haven't done that yet, that's what you have been created for.
Been talking the entire hour with Pastor Billy Crone, Sunrise Baptist Church, Las Vegas. He's in studio with me. And 30 seconds while you're here, Billy.
Well, hey, again, I'd encourage people if they want more of this stuff, because we got lots of studies dealing with these topics, and certainly on even on evangelism and stuff of that nature. But we have an ongoing study that I've been teaching on Wednesday nights called World Religions, Cults, and the Occult. and I'm still in that. So we got a lot of information on that. We have specific studies dealing with this stuff, a study called Satan and Demons that we have available. We also have many, as you know, Bible prophecy videos and
tremendous
on the rapture. And so lots of stuff to really get you equipped, get you motivated. And most importantly is to get you motivated to get busy sharing the gospel because time is short.
Well, I thank you for coming, swinging by the studio. I'm looking forward to working with you. And again, folks, you can get a CD of today's program, and you can also get a DVD of Billy's testimony at his website, getalifemedia.com. Get a Life Through Jesus Christ is the name of the DVD with his testimony on it. I highly recommend it. I highly recommend anything you find on his website. And Billy, it's so wonderful to have you in the Twin Cities. Sorry it turned out to be a little colder than Las Vegas, but I tried to put a special request in for you. It didn't work. Folks, I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
We are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. We continue to reach the world by reporting current events from a biblical perspective. Costing us thousands of dollars, this listener-supported program is delivered each weekend nationwide and into your home. You can help us produce and distribute this broadcast. We invite you to partner with this ministry. With our ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to be aware of current events as reported and discussed through the lens of Scripture. With a blessed hope in view, week after week, Jan Markell brings you compelling guest interviews to highlight the dangers in today's world. To become our broadcast partner, please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also help underwrite this program safely and securely at olivetreeviews.org. Or when you phone 763-559-4444. We're looking forward to hearing from you this week. And please continue to pray for the Olive Tree Ministries team. For daily global updates with a biblical worldview, 24 hours a day, log on to olivetreeviews.org. Next week, Jan returns with another program designed to help you understand the times.